That is another week. This is Andrew Wood, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center. Thank you so much for tuning in. Whether that is live on Joy 620 or via our podcast that you can find at our website, investinghope.com, the TuneIn app, Podbeam, or wherever podcasts are found, iTunes app as well. So we are certainly excited that you're listening. Again, you can learn more about Hope Resource Center at investinghope.com, and we would certainly appreciate you visiting there, reading our blog, listening to our podcast, volunteering. We have a volunteer form on there as well. Today what I want to do is point to a couple things that are coming up for Hope Resource Center this summer, and then I want to talk about some things that are going on in the news that are affecting pro-life advocates, and also want to spend some time highlighting the brave ones, the patients. As Mother's Day was just a couple weeks ago, and I do want to take some time out to really highlight the moms that they have enough courage to come to Hope Resource Center, and so we want to talk about them as well. But first, I want to point to a couple events that are coming up in the near future where you can learn more and partner with Hope Resource Center. And the one that I'm thinking about right now is June 2nd is the Sharon Parrott Memorial Car Show. And you've heard me talk about the car show for the last few years, but June 2nd is the day. It's at Mount Harmony Baptist Church, which is over at Strawberry Plains exit. And it's just going to be a great day. It's from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. And Muscle Car Ministries puts on this car show, and we're certainly grateful for their partnership. And what that looks like, if you're listening to this and saying, well, what in the world does cars have to do with Hope Resource Center? Well, Sharon Parrott Memorial Car Show is a great partnership between Muscle Car Ministries, which is an organization in town that has folks from different surrounding counties of Knox County that come together, and they celebrate their passion of cars. And so they have car shows and different events throughout the year. And every dollar that they raise at these events, they donate to a nonprofit of some sort. In this case, it's going to be Hope Resource Center. So the fellow that kind of heads up Muscle Car Ministries is Kel Parrott, and his mother, Sharon Parrott, was a good friend of Lou Ann Tilson. Lou Ann, who is the director of operations at Hope Resource Center. And also Sharon Parrott was a mentor to many women and was just beloved in the community. And she passed away a few years back. And after her passing, Kel was trying to figure out, how can I honor her memory and give back in her name? And he said immediately Hope Resource Center came to his mind. And so we've done this for, I think this is the third or fourth year. It's the sixth annual Sharon Parrott Memorial Car Show. But every single year, we have raised more and more money. And last year, they gave us a check for $15,000 from this car show. So you can expect around 200 cars. They hand out trophies, best in show, all of these awards. There's food, there's silent auctions. Some of the money will go to the church there at Mount Harmony. It's just an incredible day, and it's a great family event. There'll be we'll have the national anthem, we'll have the prayer, we'll do all of that stuff, and very patriotic, very American, and very godly as well. And so we would love to see you out there at Mount Harmony Baptist Church again on June 2nd, starting at 8 a.m. And you can learn more about that at our website, investinghope.com. Also, you can learn more about that on our Facebook page as well. So we would certainly encourage you to do that. And again, I hope to see you out there. It's always a fun time to get out there, look at some nice cars, and celebrate life all at the same time. So right now, what I want to do is shift gears and look at some of what I call the brave ones. And what this is, you know, a couple weeks ago we had Mother's Day. So of course, I celebrate the moms in our lives, and it's important to do that, to not only celebrate the mom in your life, but also to celebrate other moms around you. And I think it's important that we take time to celebrate the brave ones. And by that I mean the patients that come to Hope Resource Center. So I can't help but think about the patients. Women of all ages looking down at a pregnancy test and receiving news that brings about every feeling and emotion imaginable. In a split second, they enter into motherhood. In a moment, they feel as if the entire weight of the world is on their shoulders. Fear and anxiety set in as they craft a plan to alert their parents, their friends, and their family. Our patients seldom look on the bright side because, honestly, there is very little brightness occurring in the news. I realize this seems like harsh language, but it is important that we meet these conversations head on. There is no reason to sugarcoat what is going on with our patients. Fantasy may seem attractive to us and paint a pretty picture, but fantasy is not reality. And at Hope, we are in the reality business. Many of our patients are struggling with abusive relationships, finishing school, drug addiction, or a host of other obstacles that cloud the excitement of a new pregnancy. This is why our patients are so brave. Many of them, in the face of horrid obstacles, choose to parent their child, come to parenting class, and meet with a mentor. This isn't easy for them, but they buckle down and put in the work as they prepare for a new journey. A journey, mind you, that involves another life. A life that will keep them up at night, test their patience, struggle in school, and cost them money. Our patients are not unlike many of you. They focus on the negative aspects first, as our mind tends to lead us down the dark paths that may be ahead of us. However, the dark paths begin to see light as preparations are made. This is when our patients, after many conversations with Hope staff and volunteers, begin to see the joy in motherhood. Those late nights with our kids show us how much we can love another. The days where we lack patience actually helps us become more patient. Those tough days in school for our children creates leaders that will change the world. The money spent on our children is seen as an investment, not a simple expense. Now, this doesn't mean that the path is obstacle-free, but with the right tools, those obstacles become manageable. This is when the bravery shines through and our inexperienced patients become wonderful moms. I was reminded of this earlier in the week. We received a call from a former patient that found her way to Hope 18 years ago. This patient, faced with many hurdles, but through Hope's assistance, was able to see parenting as an option. She chose life for a child, and this week, that beautiful little girl born in 2000 becomes a high school honors graduate. These are the brave women we get to serve every single day at Hope. These stories are not always filled with positive news and don't always have happy endings, but the bravery of those we serve is on clear display. So I'm not asking you to neglect the moms in your life this week, but we would greatly appreciate your prayers for our patients that are entering motherhood unexpectedly. So remember, not just 2 weeks ago during Mother's Day, but every day, we would appreciate your prayers for our patients. Patients that yesterday may not have thought motherhood was a thing that was going to happen in the next few hours, but the reality came quickly and motherhood was happening. Families that had been trying for years to get pregnant but not able to, and then finally get a positive pregnancy test and finally are able to come to Hope Resource Center and have an ultrasound. You know, I was talking to a friend the other day who's become a friend. We haven't been friends for long, but I was talking to him the other day about the work we do at Hope, and he looked at me and said, you know, a lot of people assume that Hope only serves those that are facing unplanned pregnancies or only serves those single moms or those that are dealing with addiction. And certainly that's a large part of our patient demographic. But for this guy, the reality is him and his wife were having a lot of issues getting pregnant. Miscarriage after miscarriage, negative test after negative test. And then finally, they get pregnant, they don't have insurance, they don't have a lot of support, and they come to Hope Resource Center. So we have this married couple just eager and excited to have their baby. And we were able to be there for them as well. So when you're thinking about the impact that we're having, just know that it's not just for those that are struggling financially or those that are struggling with addiction. It can also be for, and oftentimes is for, a young married couple that has faced a number of obstacles in their life. And we celebrate all of those, regardless of the situation of the patient that finds themselves at Hope Resource Center. We're going to celebrate the life that has been made. And then we pray that they choose life in that. So we would certainly encourage your prayers for our patients as we can continue to see them every single day. Patients that may already have a little baby at home and finding out they're pregnant again. Patients that made a simple mistake or a big mistake and a pregnancy occurs. It doesn't change the fact that that's a life inside the womb. So these are prayers that we need. These are actual stories of folks at Hope Resource Center. And so what we need for you to do is to stand with us for these patients. Because what they're finding when they come into our doors at Hope Resource Center is not just medical care. That certainly is paramount, and that is very important to us. And we want them to meet with a nurse. We want them to meet with a nurse practitioner. We want them to get the medical care that they need. But we also understand that what they need is someone to talk to. And what we have found is because of those relationships, because of those mentoring relationships, because of those relationships between our nurses and nurse practitioners with these patients, is we now have patients that call us back years later or maybe a year later and say, can I come back in and meet with my mentor? I'm going through some things and I just need to sit down with them. Or we have patients like I spoke about earlier that call back after 18 years and say, my baby's graduating high school because I came to Hope Resource Center. Or we have patients that have friends or have siblings that are going through a tough spot, and they, what do they tell them? They say, you need to stop what you're doing right now and go to Hope Resource Center. Now, why do they do that? They do that because they know the love and care that they're going to receive when they walk in our doors. And so we're open to that. Now, sometimes we have to shift some scheduling around to make that work. But again, we want to serve those that need it. And this past week, we had a fundraiser partnership with an organization that did a great job in sharing our message. And as I heard about the stories and the money that was raised, and all in all, we raised about $37,000 through that, which was amazing. But as we walked through that, I sent a text to the staff and I said, I'm amazed at the work that has been done, the message that's being shared of the work of Hope Resource Center and pregnancy centers in general. But what really amazes me is that patients that come to Hope Resource Center in some of their darkest of times and darkest of moments, they come to Hope Resource Center and then they're willing to share their story with the world. Why? Because they love our staff that much. They love their mentors that much. And that's a beautiful thing. That even in their darkest of moments, their darkest of times, when they sat in a parking lot at an abortion clinic and chose not to go in, when they seriously debated on whether to abort their child, they're willing to share that story with the world because of the impact that was made in their life at Hope Resource Center. And we are certainly blessed to be a part of that. We'll be back. I know. So we spent the first segment talking about the brave ones and pointing to a car show that's coming up for Hope Resource Center. Right now, I want to dive into some news, some big news that's happening around our country for pro-life advocates. And I'm looking over at Christianity Today, and you can find them on online. And they're writing an article about the White House announcing new regulations. So according to reports, the White House is expected to announce new regulations prohibiting Planned Parenthood and other entities that make abortion referrals from receiving grant money through Title X, the government's $250 million family planning program. Already, Title X funds cannot be used for abortion itself, but Planned Parenthood still receives more than $50 million every year to cover birth control and other services for low-income and uninsured patients. Under the new policy, clinics could not accept the money at all if they perform or recommend abortion. So let's stop right there for a second. So what you're going to hear from abortion proponents, you're going to hear that, well, no federal money goes to abortion. That line of thinking on its face is accurate. Currently, there are no federal funds that go to abortion. But here's when you really dive into that and look at what that means, is the money, $50 million in just title X funds, $50 million, and then on a larger scale, Planned Parenthood receives about $500 million every year in federal funds, and a lot of that is reimbursements for different services that they provide. But here's what you need to know about budgets. Okay, so budgets are, I think the proper term is fungible. So they are able to, if you receive $50 million over here, yeah, those dollars technically may not go to provide an abortion, but those dollars are going to pay an abortionist. So it's paying a doctor. Those dollars may be going to pay the staff that's getting everything ready for that abortion. Those dollars are going to be able to keep the clinic afloat while they do abortions. Those dollars are going to be used to market Planned Parenthood. Those dollars are going to be used to market the abortion clinic. And so to say that these funds do not make abortion easier is just being dishonest. It's not being accurate. It's not being fair. And I think it's important that we look into this. And so Russell Moore, president of the Southern Baptist Convention's Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission, he said this. And I want to read exactly what he said, because I think it's important that we hear from one of our Christian leaders of the day. And he says, "I welcome this announcement from the administration of its intention to propose a rule clearly stating that family planning does not include abortion. This is a critical point to make because the facts are clear. Without abortion, there will be no Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood is not a healthcare organization, but a storefront for an industry that devalues human life and exploits families and communities. This rule from the Department of Health and Human Services is a responsible and commendable step toward our goal of totally separating taxpayer funds from Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry. We will work to make sure the rule remains strong as it works through interagency review. At the same time, we know that the abortion industry will do everything in its power to maneuver around this rule, even if enacted. That being the case, we will continue to call upon Congress to take legislative action, and we will not stop until abortion is no longer supported with even a penny of taxpayer funds." So again, the focus there is, yes, abortion is legal in our country. But that doesn't mean that our federal dollars, half of which are coming from pro-lifers, because let's just say that half the country's pro-life, half the country's pro-choice, and we all pay taxes in some shape, form, or fashion. So what they're saying is we're going to shift those funds. We're not going to give them to those that provide abortion. It doesn't say we're going to take those funds out of the healthcare debate. It doesn't say we're going to shift those dollars completely out of healthcare. No, it's going to shift those dollars to health agencies that do not refer or provide abortions. So that doesn't mean that it's going to shift them to just Christian organizations. It doesn't mean that at all. It means that if you provide abortions, if that is your main source of revenue, and guess what, folks, with Planned Parenthood, it is their main source of revenue. Over 320,000 abortions a year in that one organization. So if you want to go further with that, that's over 320,000 heartbeats that were extinguished because of that clinic. And so I don't think it's a stretch to say, hey, we need to shift these funds. And also, this isn't even a, if you want to make this political, this is how it works. Okay? So when a candidate is in the Oval Office, typically, if they have an R beside their name, they're going to lean more pro-life. If they have a D beside their name, they're going to lean more pro-choice. So a lot of things happened the last 8 years that really lifted and pumped up the abortion industry. Cecile Richards herself met in the Oval Office many, many times because she had a direct contact with the president. So this is part of it. This is political. This is what they do. They make decisions that work with their base. They make decisions that they feel are right. So this is what's happening. But the issue is Congress hasn't really done anything. So the president has taken it upon himself, his administration, to move further. So let's go further with what this looks like. So the Title X program, which now supports about 4 million patients and 4,000 providers, dates back to 1970. Previously, President Reagan had put a similar rule in place to restrict the funds from being used to back abortion. The Trump administration's restriction, drafted by the Department of Health and Human Services, is currently being reviewed by the White House Budget Office. President Trump has shown decisive leadership, delivering on key promise to pro-life voters. This is coming from Susan B. Anthony List, their president, talking about President Trump. A majority of Americans, 60%, oppose the use of taxpayer dollars to fund abortion, according to a Marist poll conducted in January. I'm grateful that my tax dollars will not fund Planned Parenthood, thanks to the Trump administration, to Vice President Mike Pence and to Kellyanne Conway and to many pro-lifers in the Department of Health and Human Services who have worked tirelessly to fulfill their campaign promise, a promise made to the pro-life movement for the past decade. This was said by Abby Johnson, who's the president of And Then There Were None, and we had her on the show just a few weeks back. In January, the administration rescinded an Obama administration memo warning states against blocking Medicaid funding for abortion. Last year, it reversed an earlier policy barring states from withholding Title X funds from abortion clinics. Trump also reinstated a ban on federal funding for organizations performing abortions abroad. So listen, if you're wondering how this works, if you're involved in the political realm at all, executive orders brought about by the president, by the one that is in the Oval Office, can easily be overturned by the next president. So what we saw the last 8 years was a lot of executive orders, a lot of memos, a lot of things being said, hey, if Congress won't act, then I will. And so the president of the past 8 years did act with executive order after executive order after executive order. And what we have seen with the new president is no different than the last president. The new president has said, yeah, we don't like that. I'm gonna rescind that executive order, or I'm gonna make my own executive order. So that gets frustrating, and you think, man, 8 years we really move forward, or we really move backwards, and then the next 8 years, man, we were able to right the ship, or we're taking the ship in the wrong direction, whatever that looks like. But the one thing to point out here is this is a big deal. This is one step closer to removing all federal dollars, all taxpayer dollars, from propping up the abortion industry, because it may not directly pay for an abortion, but it certainly indirectly props up the abortion industry. So the more funds we can get out of the abortion industry via taxpayer dollars, the better. We'll be back.
Hope Resource Center on the Drive at 5.
So exciting times for pro-lifers in the country, we hope. As we seem to be moving in the right direction when it comes to taxpayer dollars. And if you live in the state of Tennessee like I do, there's a ton of legislation that's pointing to pro-life and positive things for our movement, with the governor signing great pieces of legislation that do that as well. Tonight I'm actually going, if you're listening to this live, you'll be, I'm saying tonight, Tuesday, is when I'm going to the local Tennessee Right to Life chapter is having a legislative update, and it's going to be interesting to hear from some of our local legislators about the work that's being done for the pro-life movement. If not, if you weren't able to make it, or if you weren't able to hear that, you can follow Tennessee Right to Life online, or maybe I'll be writing a blog about it very soon as well. I wanted to shift gears for a second, and a lot of times we talk about local stories, we talk about legislative issues, but I wanted to, there's a story that made national news over the last couple of weeks, and I think it's important that we spend some time looking at this incredible man, this incredible story, and the impact that one person can have by doing something that's fairly simple. So this man donated blood every week for 60 years And they're saying that he saved 2.4 million babies. So, if you're asking yourself, how can one person make a difference? How can I possibly make a difference? How can I, as a dad, make a difference? How can I, as a mom, make a difference? How can I, as a student? How can I, as a husband, as a wife, as a friend, as a sibling, as a child, make a difference? How can I, as a retiree, make a difference in my community and in the world? Well, this guy donated blood every week for 60 years and saved 2.4 million babies. When James Harrison was 14 years old, he underwent a major surgery that required blood donations to sustain his life. Afterward, at that young age, Harrison decided that he would begin donating his blood to help others in need. More than 60 years later, the Australian man has been declared a national hero for donating blood nearly every week of his life and saving millions of babies. He is known as the man with the golden arm. Last week, Harrison made his last donation before the country's age cutoff of 81 years old. His unique blood type made the donations even more vitally important. According to the Australian Red Cross Blood Service, only about 50 other people in Australia are known to have the same type. Every bag of blood is precious, but James's blood is particularly extraordinary. His blood is actually used to make a life-saving medication given to moms whose blood is at risk of attacking their unborn babies. Every batch of anti-D that has ever been made in Australia has come from James's blood. And more than 17% of women in Australia are at risk. So James has helped save a lot of lives. The organization estimated Harrison's donations have helped save more than 2.4 million babies. His donations even helped save one of his grandsons, according to the report. Anti-D produced with Harrison's antibodies prevents women with rhesus negative blood from developing RHD antibodies during pregnancy. More than 3 million doses of anti-D have been issued to Australian mothers with negative blood types since 1967. Even Harrison's own daughter was given the anti-D vaccine. That resulted in my second grandson being born healthy, Harrison said, and that makes you feel good that you saved a life there and you saved many more, and that's great. The discovery of Harrison's antibodies was an absolute game changer, Australian official said. In Australia, up until about 1967, there were literally thousands of babies dying each year. Doctors didn't know why, and it was awful. Women were having numerous miscarriages and babies were being born with brain damage. Australia was one of the first countries to discover a blood donor with this antibody, so it was quite revolutionary at the time. Though he has received awards and accolades, Harrison has not sought them. His humility came through clearly in an interview with CNN. It becomes quite humbling when they say, oh, you've done this or you've done that or you're a hero, Harrison said. It's something I can do. It's one of my talents, probably my only talent, is that I can be a blood donor. So think about that. Think about the impact that was made there. So I understand that a lot of people, it's easy for us to get overwhelmed when we look at what's going on in our country, what's going on in our world, and we say, how can we make a difference? How can we change the world? How can we impact our community? How can we impact our city? And a lot of times we think that we can only do that if we have a big platform. We think that we can only do that if we have a stage. We think that we can only do that if we're a pastor, or we can only do that if we're rich, or we can only do that if we are a celebrity. But Mr. Harrison in Australia, quietly every week, with no platform, with no stage, just quietly every week went and gave blood. Every week, probably on the same day, just went and gave blood. Now they're writing stories about him now, after 60 years of consistent work. But how many stories have been written about him beforehand? Now, maybe in Australia. Maybe they knew him in Australia. But have you ever heard of him? But for 60 years, every week, he quietly gave blood. And now the world knows his name. And what did he say? It may be my only talent, but I can give blood. So what is it that you can do? Maybe you're listening to this and you have a big stage. You have a big platform. How are you leveraging that platform to make a difference? Maybe you're listening to this and you don't have a stage, you don't have a platform. But what can you do every single day to make a difference? Can you volunteer at a pregnancy center? Yeah, probably. Can you write a check to a nonprofit? Yes. Can you pray? Yes. Can you get involved with a local campaign? Can you get involved with your community? Yes. Can you get involved with your church? So I don't want you to sit back and feel overwhelmed. Because it's easy to do that. It's easy to say there's so much that needs to be done and then we just sit there and do nothing. It's like walking into a... Maybe you have a room in your house that just is the catch-all for everything. And when summer comes along and you're like, okay, now's the time. And then you walk in that room and you get so overwhelmed that you can't even begin to think about what this would be if we would remove everything out of the room. But all it takes is removing one piece at a time. And then the next thing you know, the room is clean. And so, yeah, you may not be able to see Roe v. Wade overturned tomorrow. But we can take one step at a time. We can partner with pregnancy centers. We can be there for young moms facing unplanned pregnancies. We can show them that there's another option to abortion. We can show them that there's support systems for them. So we can do that one step at a time. We can engage with our political process to prepare our state for the day that Roe v. Wade is overturned, which we are trying to do here in Tennessee. Because the day Roe v. Wade is overturned doesn't mean abortion is gone. It just means the states decide. And so what are we doing step by step and incrementally to make our state prepared for that day? How are we partnering with pregnancy centers? How are we partnering with health organizations that don't promote abortion? How is our church engaging in the process? Mr. Harrison chose every day or every week for 60 years. Hey, I'm going to give blood. Now, why? Because when he was 14, someone else's blood saved his life. And that had a lasting impact on him. Now, he didn't set out 60 years ago to say, look, my goal is to save 2.4 million babies. No, what he set out 60 years ago was, this is the least I could do. Somebody donated blood and saved my life. I'm going to donate blood in hopes that I may save one life. And the reality is, he didn't just save one. He saved 2.4 million. So again, steps can be made to make a difference in your community, in this country, and around the world. And the question is, what are we prepared to do? Are we prepared to get off our hind ends, get off the couch, and get involved? We'll be back.
Hope Resource Center on the Drive at 5.
Okay, it's been a great day. We're gonna end where we started. So I'm gonna point you back to an event that's coming up on June 2nd that I hope to see you there. It's the Sharon Parrott Memorial Car Show at Mount Harmony Baptist Church over on Strawberry Plains at Strawberry Plains exit. And it's gonna be a great day. Again, registration starts at 8. The event actually starts at 10 a.m. and it runs to 3 a.m. or 3 p.m. Not 3 a.m. That would be crazy. It's running to 3 p.m. and then it's open to all makes and models, over 60 awards, best in show, best in class, and more. Door prizes, silent auction, dash plaques to first 125, food and fun for all ages. And again, it's the 6th annual Sharon Parrott Memorial Car Show, and it's going to be a blast June 2nd. We hope to see you there. It is great fun for the family. So if you have sons, if you have daughters, it doesn't matter. Everyone likes to look at nice, shiny cars, whether they're old or they're new. Also, you're going to see some great people out there. Muscle Car Ministry is a great organization. I encourage you to go and thank them and meet them. It's just going to be a fun day. And we pray for good weather. It will be warm. So regardless of what's going on, it's going to be warm. Prepare for that. If you come out, bring some water. Buy some water when you get there. Bring some sunscreen. As a redhead, that is a must for me. But take care of yourself. But we would love to see you out there on June 2nd. Also, coming up this summer, we're going to be sending out a summer mailing. And I'm looking forward to getting that into your hands, so be looking for that in the mail. It's going to be focusing on pregnancy tests and the impact. Again, I was talking about in the last segment how you can make a difference. And so a lot of times we think, well, I don't have millions of dollars. I can't make a difference. Or I don't have the stage. I don't have the platform. How could I possibly make the difference? A pregnancy test at Hope Resource Center cost $1. That's it. $1. You probably could find that in your couch cushions at home. And the difference that a pregnancy test will make in a young lady that is scared and unsure of the future, that pregnancy test will allow her a conversation with our staff, will get her in our door, may even allow her to have an ultrasound. And so that's what the summer mailing is going to focus on, is pregnancy test and partnering with us. $30 a month would take care of 30 pregnancy tests. $30. 30 pregnancy tests. You can make an impact, and you can do that at investinghope.com. There's a big blue donate button. If you want to partner with us, we would certainly welcome that. But investinghope.com, you can also find us on Facebook and Instagram. If you want to keep up with us, we have a big week coming up this Thursday, the 24th. We are having 16 baby showers at Hope Resource Center. 16 in one day. And it's going to be a blast. It's going to be busy. It's going to be fun. But the gifts that we're able to give them are a reality because of people like you, because of churches, and because of organizations that partner with us. And so we're excited about that. That means 16 pack and plays, 16 car seats, 16 diaper bags, 16 bathtubs, 16 strollers. And then diapers and diapers and diapers and wipes and wipes and wipes and clothes and clothes and clothes. Just so much stuff happening this week, and we're excited about that. So be praying for us. Be praying for our patients as they come in this Thursday. Some will be with family members. Some will be by themselves. Some have a support system. Some don't. So what happens for us at Hope is we step in. We become that support system, and we're looking forward to it. So be praying for us this Thursday, 16 baby showers at Hope Resource Center. We'll talk to you next week.
Lift your head, weary sinner. The river's just ahead. Down a path of forgiveness, salvation's waiting.